Chapter 6, Law of Sowing and Reaping. The law of sowing and reaping is inbuilt in the sex energy center in the central nervous system. Meditation on this center made me aware of its existence. The law of sowing and reaping deals with the programming of the seed of plants, animals, and human beings to preserve and to ensure the survival of the species. In human beings, it also helps to fulfill the goals, the desired end results, of a person. Once a plant has grown, it would be matured enough to produce pollens. The pollens contain information with regards to the plant and how to create a new plant of the same type. Plants have both male pollen and female aspects of the flower. Pollen from a plant is carried by the wind through insects to fertilize the female aspects of the plant. Once fertilized, a seed is produced capable of creating a new plant. Once the seed is planted, it would produce the same type of plant. Basically, the internal structure of the new tree would be the same, such as its cells, external characteristics, mechanism for acquiring, processing and distribution of nutrients, and formation of new pollens, etc. Other than that, the rate of growth, the size, to which direction the plant grows in, where the branches are formed, number of leaves, etc., would very much depend on its environment, for example, sunlight, amount of food available, etc. When a male and female of an animal species, for example, a tiger, procreate, the cub would have the characteristics of its parents. This would be its natural carnivorous character, the cells, its vulnerability and ability to defend against various diseases, etc. But its size, rate of growth, its agility, ability to gather food and adjusting to its surroundings would very much depend on its environment. Now, both genetics and environment play an important role in the formation and growth of a plant or an animal. As the plant or animal grows, it faces changes and challenges in the environment. This can be in the form of climate change, new types of disease encountered, new type of friendly species, and of course enemies, etc. As it learns to face the challenges and changes in its environment, this new information are stored in its genes. As such, when the new generation of plants and animals are created, nature would provide it with the necessary instruments to handle the new environment outside based on the information the peers had collected. For example, if the weather becomes colder, the later generation of the animal species would have thicker skin to keep warm or more hair on the skin to keep heat in the body. Or maybe the animal needs sharper claws to fight its new enemy. Or maybe the plant need to grow its roots even deeper into the ground as the food supply on the shallow ground is slowly depleting, etc. This is called the natural process of evolution. The new seed would be more refined and adjusted towards its environment compared to the earlier seed that produced the plant or animal. Kindly note that this evolutionary process does not happen overnight, and it takes many generations of the variety of plant and animal species to produce visible changes. As they sow, they reap. The law of sowing and reaping ensures that the new improved seed produces the same plant or animal, and the new plant or animal also undergoes the same continuous evolutionary process. As such, every new generation would have more and more refined seed that is continuously adjusted according to the environment outside. In the same way, this process works in human being, except that it is a lot more complex as each human being has the ability to alter his life as per his thoughts. A human being has four layers of body: the spiritual body, the intellectual body, the emotional body, and the physical body. When a child is conceived, the child would have the mixture of both the father's and mother's genes. The genes that are more dominant would gain more superiority in the child. Usually, again I am stressing the word usually, the father's genes have more influence on the spiritual and intellectual areas and less in the emotional and physical areas. whereas the mother's genes have more influence on the emotional and physical area and less in the spiritual and intellectual areas. Examples of positive spiritual characteristics are unconditional love, appreciating everyone and everything as a unique creation of the Almighty Creator, selfless service to mankind, etc. Examples of positive intellectual characteristics are love to improve knowledge, example by reading books, watching nature, to improve one's own self, constantly thinking of ways to improve the quality of life for benefit of all, goal-oriented, open-minded, good ability to reason out, practice right thought, ability to accept different views, etc. Examples of positive emotional characteristics are compassion, peace, harmony, care, forgiving, motivated, constantly having a good feeling for life and mankind, etc. Examples of positive physical characteristics are proper food diet, not being excessive, constant exercise to maintain good health of the physical body, etc. Example of negative spiritual characteristics are religious fanatism, love only those of the same religion and do not care at all about the others, egoistic that they are more spiritual than the others, unable to accept in their hearts the universal concept that all are equal in the eyes of the Creator, etc. Examples of negative intellectual characteristics are passing judgment on others, acquire knowledge to feed the ego self, love money, use people, constantly manipulating people, things and situations to fulfill their own needs, gossiping, constantly looking for faults in others, etc. Examples of negative emotional characteristics are revengeful feeling, anger, sadness, jealousy, unable to trust anyone, fear, etc. Examples of negative physical characteristics are no proper diet, overweight, less exercise, too much smoking, consuming too much alcohol, taking drugs, etc. If some of the above characteristics are dominant in the parents, they would also be present in their child. When the child grows up, the child would also be influenced by its surroundings, environment. Here, parents, teachers, relatives, and friends play important roles in developing the positive or negative characters in the child, which are already present in the genes from the father and the mother. Sometimes the child acquires new skills and habit patterns from its surroundings. These new characteristics would also be programmed into the genes. In some cases, you would find in some families siblings of totally different characters. How does this happen? Let me give you an example. Assuming a couple have just got married and start their life together. As they are still young, they are not financially stable, so they are very disciplined and thrifty. They form the habit of saving. The husband is very spiritual, keen on the subjects of the mind, and meditates often during his free time. The wife also has the same habit and is full of unconditional love and devotion towards the husband. They both have a proper diet. As such, their bodies are well maintained. When they have a child, the child would have the dominant characteristics of both parents. Even in the younger years, the child would seek friends and relatives who are spiritual, keen on meditations, disciplined, etc. As he grows, these characters would become dominant in him. In fact, it would be much stronger in him than his parents. While the child is growing up, the parents may have reached a point in their life where they are financially stable, hence adopting a lavish lifestyle. They become mentally and spiritually languid. Then they decide to have another child. This child would similarly be more lackadaisical, financially, in discipline and spirituality, etc. The parents, being able to provide greater material comfort to this child compared to the older one, allow the second son to grow in lavish comfort. This may induce laziness, thinking everything comes easy, and egoism. He would also have friends of the same nature. Then, after a number of years, you would notice the characters of the two brothers are extremely different from one another. Similarly, if the parents have more children, Each child would have a different characteristics depending on the parents' genes and their surroundings as they grow up. As they sow, they reap. For more details on the subject of children, kindly take a look at the awareness series, The Book of Children. I would like to make a note here with regards to genetics and environment. Sometimes, due to the overwhelming negative influence from the environment, a child's positive qualities received from the parents can be suppressed and the negative influences would then grow on the child. Similarly, overwhelming positive influence can neutralize negative qualities received from the parents. As such, it is vitally important that the environment of the child is constantly positive. This would help build positive characters in the child and neutralize the negative characters. As you can see, the law of sowing and reaping is constantly working. What you sow is what you reap. Plants are not able to do much to change their genes or environment. As such, they adapt or else they perish. Similarly, animals do not have the ability to change their genes, but to a certain extent, animals can change their environment. They have the ability to migrate when the weather is too cold or too hot, when there is not enough food and water supply, etc. Even then, it is very limited. Now, human beings are another story. Science has become so advanced that knowledge on how to alter the genetics of plants and animals is available to us. This has allowed scientists to further modify the genetics of plants, married with a different variety of plant, to produce far superior plants with the ability to defend against many different diseases and increase yield. If left to the process of nature, it would have taken the plant hundreds or even thousands of generations to arrive at that which science has achieved in a couple of decades. Similarly, the same types of experiments on animals are being carried out. As they sow, they reap. The recent initial completion of the Human Genome Project has made it possible for human beings to study their very own genes. As such, the defective genes can be identified in early stages of pregnancy and corrected. The positive genes can also be further boosted to function much better. It would not be long before science discovers the genes that govern the emotional, intellectual, and spiritual part of a human being. As you sow, so shall you reap. There are people who are against the research into human genetics. They are concerned that the knowledge may be used for the wrong reasons and therefore cause irreparable damage to mankind. For example, once the full mapping of the human genome is in our hands, man could go further to eliminate the feeling of pain genetically, then continue to pursue further to remove the emotional and higher intellectual faculty in a person and turn him into the perfect soldier who has no emotions and only take orders. It strikes terror in our hearts when we think of such possibility. The entire human existence as we know it now can be made extinct or taken hostage by a certain group of people who wish to control the world. As you sow, so shall you reap. At the same time, there are those in favor of such research. Various defects in a newborn baby or even an adult can be rectified by just correcting the gene that is defective. As such, man can live longer and experience a more healthier life. Natural immune system can be enhanced to protect the body from dangerous diseases. A person who has memory problem can be easily corrected by just modifying or rectifying the defective gene. A mental patient who has emotional outbursts and have difficulty controlling himself can be cured by just subduing the gene that is causing the problem. Similarly, a dangerous killer with no remorse or whatsoever can be controlled to a certain extent by correcting the genes that cause such character in the person. As you sow, so shall you reap. As you can see, there are pros and cons about the above subject. Knowledge itself is not right nor wrong, or positive nor negative. It is the application of the knowledge that produces the positive results or the negative results. It must come to the awareness of human beings that they possess one of the greatest knowledge of nature. When used in a positive way, it can improve mankind by leaps and bounds. Used in the negative way, it can cause the ultimate destruction of mankind itself. As you sow, so shall you reap. The ancient masters, seers, sages and wise men who discovered the secrets of nature were very careful when they revealed their findings. They would first seek those who have the capabilities to comprehend what they have discovered before sharing with them the knowledge. They would also make sure these students of theirs are pure in heart and would use the knowledge for the betterment of mankind and not for selfish gains. These great men truly did selfless service and never used the knowledge for personal gains. The majority of people of the present world seek fame and fortune. They are quick to share with the world their findings that seem to be beyond the comprehension of the ordinary mind. They seek recognition for their accomplishments and for their intellectual superiority. In search of fame and fortune, they are quick to sell their discoveries to unscrupulous individuals. Thus, it could be used for the wrong reasons. Of course, there are many who, in the true spirit of sharing, share with everyone the knowledge that they have discovered. By sharing, they hope to further enhance that which they have discovered. It is truly fortunate for the world to have such kind-hearted beings. To these great souls who discover new knowledge, I humbly suggest that thorough research is done on the subject first, and then to release the knowledge to those with pure hearts who have the capability to comprehend that which has been discovered. The sharing has to be done one step at a time. Once the general public's awareness level grows and the conditions permit, then only release the full scope of the knowledge. For example, before further enhancing and developing the genetic study of how to prolong the life of a human being by making him immune to sickness and aging, science should first carry out research and develop ways and means to increase food supply. At the same time, science should be able to provide the necessary shelter for the rapid growth of the population of the world. And now, with the promising potentials of genetics, life expectancy would be extended. Thus, the population of the world may grow tremendously. As such, it's best to try to find a way for people to live in different atmospheres. For example, beneath the sea, sky, outer space, other planets, etc., with proper supply of food. More people with less food and place to stay could, however, escalate into global chaos. This would defeat the purpose of which the knowledge of human genetics was first discovered. As such, my dear great scientists of the world, please follow the path of the great ancient wise men who practiced immense patience and do things only after careful thought of the consequences of their actions. Even this book that you are reading now, it took me great many years to refine the ideas and at the same time to decide what to write and what is best left unsaid. I believe the contents of this book itself should be changed in 100 years' time. Why? Although the truth of the 7 great laws would always remain the same, the examples that I have given would change, as the global environment would have changed by then. To use the same examples that I have given may not be suitable then. The ideas have to be refined, and deeper aspects of the knowledge must be shared with those whose awareness have grown. As such, the information itself in this book should also evolve accordingly with nature. Some selfish people with ulterior motives only best known to themselves take excerpts of books or scriptures of the past that are not possible to practice in the present era, and then force them down the throats of others. I truly feel sorry for these souls. They forget that change is the law of life. As they try to sidestep the natural process of evolution, they would eventually be overwhelmed by the forces of nature, resulting in their own destruction. Just like trying to swim against the current of a strong river. You may try to fight, but the question is, for how long? People may become aversive to such obsolete teachings and start following new teachings that better reflect the spiritual and emotional needs of the current times. Worse still, due to undue pressure and inability to follow the rigid teachings, people may become attracted to the other extreme, totally rejecting all forms of values to vent out their frustrations. As you can see, every step of the way, the law of sowing and reaping is always working. Whether it is in plants, animals, or human beings, it works the same way. Positive seeds that are sown produce positive results. Negative seeds that are sown produce negative results. As a wise man said long time ago, by the fruits you would know them. Now, let us look in detail how the law of sowing and reaping can be used by a person to improve the quality of his or her own life. A human being has the capability to produce conscious thoughts. As I have explained in the Law of Vibration and Attraction, Chapter 5, a steady stream of thoughts sends out powerful vibrations that would attract that which you seek. It comes in the form of ideas, people, and events that, once worked upon, would bring you closer towards your goals. But one must become aware that the seed of thought that is planted in the mind must be carefully thought of first before planting it. Let me give you an example. A person who constantly thinks of only material wealth would attract to him ideas, people, and events for him to achieve that goal. He would get both positive and negative ideas to succeed. The chances of him choosing quick methods, negative ideas, to acquire wealth is very high, as he is only interested in material wealth and not interested in his own or his family's happiness and health. Although he might claim that he is interested in happiness and health, but most of the time he is only thinking of material wealth. As such, material wealth is placed as more important than happiness and health. He might get himself associated with thieves and robbers. As he robs people of their hard-earned money, he would face the wrath of Law of Cause and Effect, Chapter 3. This would have a negative impact in his and his family's happiness and health. He or a member of his family whom he is close to may get some form of sickness that causes sadness for the whole family. As you can see the above, this is definitely not the proper way to use the law of sowing and reaping. Furthermore, there is another problem. Consider the following. Let us analyze the growing process of a rambutan seed and compare it with the growing process of a seed, goal, planted in a person's mind. Let us assume that the person's goal is to have his own 5,000 square feet bungalow on a 30 acres land. This is his seed, goal. If the rambutan seed is planted in a weak soil, for example, less mineral, less water, etc., or full of weeds, then it might not grow. Even if it grows, it might not produce any fruits or the fruits might be bad. Most of the time, people would blame the tree or the seed, and also the environment, example, bad soil, weeds, inexperienced farmer, etc. If the person's goal is planted in a weak mind that is full of negativity, always doubting own capabilities, always lazy, leaving the mind to wander, no discipline, etc., then the desired results may not be achieved, or only partly achieved, and worse still, negative results are achieved. These failures would then blame circumstances, the people who taught them, and everybody else except themselves. These are the people who then go around claiming that they know everything about the mind, they have tried it, but it does not work. They discourage others from even trying and ridiculing those who do. By constantly doing this, these so-called experts on the topic of the mind, without realizing, are planting a powerful negative seed in their own minds, that their minds do not work and it is useless. Thus, the seed would produce the results. Anything they do would not work. Anything they hope would crumble down. This is a self-fulfilling doom cycle. Every farmer knows the soil must be cleared off its weeds and fertilized before any seed is planted. This is to ensure proper growth of the seed. As you sow, so shall you reap. Man's mind works in the same way. The weeds in the mind must be cleared and then the mind fertilized, so that the seed, goal, that can be planted in the mind can grow quickly and efficiently. There are two ways on how a person can clear the weeds in the mind. The first way would be by doing it on your own, that is, to become aware of the negative elements in your mind and slowly neutralizing them with constant effort of subduing them when they arise. I have to be honest with you, it is easier said than done. Sometimes there are a few negative weeds in the mind that you yourself would not be aware of. At times, the ego would blind you when you try to look at some of your own weaknesses. It would offer excuses to justify the existence of certain weaknesses in the mind. The second way would be to attend awareness and motivation-based training programs that are conducted by various highly experienced people across the world. These courses specialize in awakening the mind and make it come face to face with the weeds in the mind. The theory and practical sessions would help to identify and neutralize the weak elements in the mind. Many people shy away when suggestions are given to them to attend training programs to develop their own selves. Please become aware, it is the greatest weed, that is, the overblown ego, that stops a person from going out there and learning to achieve greatness in their lives. There is a great saying by the ancient wise man, that which we know is only a handful, but that which we do not know is as vast as the universe. There are many successful people out there who have dedicated their lives to share the knowledge of the mind and create awareness among the people of the world. Before going for any of the training programs, do study the background of the people conducting these courses. Make sure they have produced positive results in their own lives, especially in the areas of happiness, health, and wealth. This is to ensure that the knowledge acquired is of substance and practically tested. That is, with the presence of the following elements both on the part of the program trainers and the program participants: awareness, experience, knowledge, and results, not just knowledge alone. Now, let us see what happens to the rambutan seed that is planted in a good soil, weeds cleared and fertilized. The rambutan seed contains in itself the program to build a rambutan tree. Once the seed is planted, it would send out vibrations in accordance to this program and attract the right kind and amount of minerals and water for it to consume and grow. Remember the law of vibration and attraction. Slowly, the roots come out and grow deeper into the ground to make sure it makes an excellent foundation to hold the huge tree that is about to grow. All this while, almost a year, the person who planted the seed would not see any changes on the surface. But he knows, deep inside, the growth process is taking place. He would patiently wait and ensure the area around where the seed has been planted is free of weeds. When he sees them, weeds, he quickly pulls them out. At first, when the tree grows, it would be slow, because it is growing against the force of gravity towards sunlight. Then, the speed would pick up and before you know it, the whole tree would be there and it would start to bear fruits. The person who planted the seed would wait patiently for the fruit to ripe before reaping them. Now, let us see the same process happening in the mind of a person who had cleared his mind of all negative dispositions, weeds, or most of them. He plants a properly structured seed goal in his mind. An example of a properly structured seed goal is a happy and healthy life, a wonderful, happy and healthy family, and owning a 5,000 square feet bungalow on a 30 acres land, have investments worth Ringgit Malaysia 2 million, own a successful hotel business with an annual net profit of Ringgit Malaysia 5 million, own a chauffeur-driven black metallic Mercedes S600 stretch limo, traveling around the world once a year, sponsoring at least 2 students for higher studies every year, build at least a foster home every 5 years, and continue to study and become aware of the full capabilities of the mind. Kindly note, what I have given is just an example. Your goals may be much higher. What matters is that you achieve it. The statement on happiness and health of the person and his or her family would make sure that you do not choose negative paths to achieve your goals. Always make sure it is a part of any goal that you set for yourself. Once the above goal, seed, is constantly concentrated upon, it would become firmly fixed, planted in the mind. It would send out powerful vibrations in accordance with the program and attract the right kind of ideas, people, and also circumstances for the goal to materialize. Remember, the law of vibration and attraction. Slowly but surely, even though the person who planted the goal in his mind is not aware of it, Nature is slowly creating the master plan, which may include meetings with new people, moving to a new environment, a sudden setback, for example, automobile accident, a sudden brilliant idea after watching a movie, etc. This is how nature works. Very, very subtle. Meanwhile, the person would firmly keep his mind on his goals and would not allow any negative thought, word, or action of others to affect his concentration on his goals. Once an idea comes to him and the opportunity presents itself, he would then have to take the risk and try out the idea. He might succeed or he might not. But in my experience, if the person fails, the idea that he was working on would be a stepping stone for him to come up with a new or better idea for him to achieve the results, goals that he wants. As long as he continues to pursue his goal, eventually he would achieve what he wants. Well, that is how the great law of sowing and reaping works. Hopefully, the explanations given above would raise your level of awareness on the subtle workings of the law. Always remember, as you sow, so shall you reap.